They were told they would not be able to have a baby. However, God had different ideas and he was holding their hand throughout the entire process. They, by the way, are Heather and Marty Sizemore, and they are our guests today on Hope, Faith, and Infertility, a podcast from Southeastern Fertility in Knoxville, Tennessee. I am your host, Mark Mellinger. Heather and Marty, so good to have you guys with us. And for those of you who are watching the video version of the podcast, you can see baby Knox. So there's the evidence that, yeah, they were able to have a baby. He's just a couple months old as we record this. You guys have a really compelling story, I know. So before we even get to your infertility journey, give me a little bit of a backstory on your own family and how it came together.
Go ahead.
Well, Marty and I got together as work partners. We actually met each other through work. We are medical folks on the helicopter, and we were partners. And we got to save some lives together. And I knew that we were meant to be together when the best thing we could do was save people's lives. And I knew that if we could do that, we could do anything together. And that's how we got together, and we started our infertility journey after Marty actually lost his son in a tragic accident, and that's really whenever this journey for baby Knox started several years ago.
Yeah, it was a long 2016 was a pretty bad year. I lost my son. He was 13 years old to a firearms accident. Probably a couple years had went by. My older daughter was a senior in high school. And actually, we were driving back home. She lives in North Carolina. We were driving home from her high school volleyball game one night, and Heather brought up maybe trying to have a child. And she'd brought it up before, kind of a short conversation, wasn't really ready. But it just seemed like God was speaking to me that night. And I was like, you know, let's try. So did some research. I'd had a vasectomy probably 17 years earlier, so we knew it'd be hard to even get started. But we found a doctor in South Carolina that had a 70% success rate, went and had the procedure, and unfortunately, it didn't work. In the meantime, we didn't know that it didn't work until we had started infertility treatment somewhere else up in Upper East Tennessee. And then we got to going with that procedure. It was an ICSI procedure. We didn't even get started with it when we found out I didn't have any live sperm to go with the procedure. And then we were kind of at a dead end. And then Heather got on the internet, did some research, and found you guys. And it just seemed like, and she'll tell you that whole process when she got on the internet.
Well, it just seemed like God had put it on my heart to not give up. And we met, you know, found you guys online, like everything nowadays. And and here we are.
Yeah.
So you had, gosh, there's so much to unpack here. And before we go to you being told you're just not going to be able to have kids, because I know that happened briefly at one point in your journey. You know, Marty and Heather, I just have to talk about the loss of your son in 2016. Anybody who's a parent will tell you, you know, I can't, especially those of us to whom it's never happened, you can't imagine anything worse. I can't imagine what that was like for you and how much time you needed to heal from that and take time. I think I would just be numb. Was that what it was like for you?
It was, you know, in my career, obviously I had seen tragedy many times over with other parents. And then to actually experience that, even though I'd seen tragedy like that before in my life, nothing prepares you for experiencing it with your own family. And, but you know, when the actual day that happened to Brady, I asked myself, you know, how can I go on helping save someone's life after this happened to my own child? And I felt like God spoke to me that day saying, you know, it will be okay. You will get through this. You will, Brady would want you to go on doing what you do, because it seemed like he was so proud of us and what we did. Brady was a very spiritual young man in his short 13 years. He loved God. He loved, you know, he loved the Lord. He loved witnessing to people. And he was just, I mean, I could go on for days about how good of a kid he was. And kind of a side note, actually, we Isaiah 41:10 was his favorite Bible verse. And, you know, we took that, and Knox's first name is Isaiah. And we, you know, we took that to add that just to his, you know, memory. And, you know, it took a couple of years for us even to talk about it. And then it was, like I said, it was a short conversation at first. I wasn't ready, but it just seemed like, you know, we had talked, and then it just seemed like that on that night coming home from volleyball, it was on my heart, wasn't it? It was just, we had, and it was a short conversation then where I was like, yeah, you know, I think I'm ready, you know?
Well, and I'm telling you, I love that you shared that even though you were numb, you know, and obviously you're going through all the emotions that are going to happen when something like that occurs, you felt the day that it happened, that God gave you a peace, that it's not okay now. It doesn't feel okay, but it's going to be okay. And I just think that that is really a testament to the Lord's grace in real time.
It is. And, you know, experiencing it early in my career, seeing what I've saw, and I'm sure Heather too, you know, everyone would, and I'm sure that they have said this, man, I don't know if I could go through something like that with my own child. And then boom, you know, suddenly you're living it and it's a nightmare. And then for, it seems like God to shine through, and Heather too, you know, she helped me get through those darkest days. We made it through, and then this big long journey, it seems like, and then here we are. You know?
What do you guys do, by the way, before I get to the infertility part, which I will in a second, what do you do on the life flight?
So I'm a flight paramedic and she's a flight nurse. So we both work in the back of the helicopter directly doing patient care and stabilizing the patient as best we can till we get to a trauma center or a heart center, wherever the patient needs critical care. And so we all, you know, we both are a team, or we were a team when we worked together, obviously. Yeah. Now it's kind of a different, but, we were a team and we had a lot of success and a lot of failures. You know, it's not always, you know, the bright shining, you know, we swoop in and save the day, you know, sometimes, you know, it, but it's, you know, it's those good times and the saves that we did make that made us close, with each other. And, you know, then it just blossomed into what it is today, you know.
Man, well, what, oh, that, yeah, that is just so cool. I love it. So you know, you say, okay, I think I'm ready. It's been a couple of years, and then you run into these roadblocks. And Heather, what did you think when you were going through the worst part of your journey? What were your conversations like that then? I know at one point you were told it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was difficult. I mean, I don't think there's anything that, oh, thanks.
He just smudged her lip a little bit for those.
Yeah. Like she was having a little sweat bead. I was like, let me get that.
I don't think anything can prepare you for infertility, and how difficult it is. I compare it to grief sometimes. And so I just prayed. I prayed that the Lord would change his heart for a child. And then I just prayed that he, you know, he put this on my heart for a reason and to give us the opportunity to try to see it through. And that's when we found your clinic. You know, after being told this just isn't something that's going to happen for you guys, I felt like something was telling me to seek a second opinion. And I'm not a second opinion type of person. I'm a very science driven mind. And I told Marty that day, I said, let's just go down there and see what they have to offer, because you guys are about 2 hours away for us to travel to.
Yeah. And we travel to Knoxville a lot. We're obviously big Vol fans. And, you know, I mean, we go down for ball games all the time. This, the least we could do is go, yeah, you know, your clinics in West and Knoxville. And I mean, we've traveled down there for ball games. We can surely travel down there to listen to, yeah, you know, maybe it's not over, you know,
and see what you guys had to offer, you know. And that day, with Dr. Keenan, the first evaluation, I knew we were in the right place as soon as we walked in. And I just knew, I knew that if we were going to be successful, it was going to be with you guys.
Describe the treatment a little bit that led you to Knox.
Marty talked about, we had a severe male factor infertility with a vasectomy that was 17 years old, went to a vasectomy reversal clinic that initially did work. We did have some live sperm in our first collection.
It wasn't a high count, but it was there. So we thought, okay, we're good to go.
Yeah.
I got at least one side working. And so we'll go with that. And then the morning of our ICSI, we're going to have the procedure or what?
Yeah, it was an IUI procedure.
Yeah.
And we were actually getting ready to leave for the procedure, and the physician called and said, you don't have any live sperm, so we can't go through with that. And we were devastated at that point, absolutely devastated. And he offered, or he actually at that point said, with no live sperm, I can't do anything for you. And that's when I found you guys and met with Dr. Keenan. And Dr. Keenan recommended doing a procedure to get sperm from Marty through UT Medical Center, which included a testicular biopsy. And then I had to do a couple procedures as well to prepare for the IVF ICSI procedure.
Because you'd had an ovary problem in
10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, so that's also another thing that God kind of led us to. I had a left ovary that had an issue 10 years ago, and they saved that ovary then. And that ovary is the only one that made follicles whenever we went through IVF. So there was a reason that was saved, and it was to give us Knox.
Oh,
so that's it in a nutshell.
I love it. What did you think when you were, take me to two moments, when you found out you were pregnant and when Knox actually arrived just before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, sure. So the morning we found out, Linda called, and I actually missed her phone call because I was on a flight on a patient transport. So obviously I couldn't answer my phone in the air, and she left me a voicemail. Well, at first I was scared to death to check it, you know, cause I thought maybe bad news. And I was with my other partner and pilot at the time that I checked it. And she said, congratulations. And I knew from then on, you know, it was,
we were pregnant.
Yes. I think when it's all you've ever wanted or all that you've ever known, to hear those words, you can't, there's no words I can. And then when he was born.
It was just, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like this rush of just, oh my God, I can't believe he's finally here. Yeah. You know, after all that we've been through together, you know, and
I think grateful is the best word. And I think the first words I said were, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for delivering him to us.
I love it.
Yeah.
Is Knox for Knoxville?
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's for, you know, we're UT fans, but also Knoxville is where we
where he was made
and where we, you know, found you guys. So it's has dual meaning. So,
yeah.
Well, and for those of you who follow Southeastern Fertility on social media, you guys took a great family picture with Paige, older sister, you know, as well as a picture of big brother Brady there as well.
Yes.
So he's not here with you physically now, but he's not forgotten. The family feels complete now, huh?
It does.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when we found out we were having a boy, we did a big gender reveal. As soon as we found out it was a boy, we said to each other, you know, Brady sent us him.
Yeah, we
he knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing. He because we were both team girl, we're like, it's totally going to be a girl. You know, Paige had my ex-wife and had another child also, and it was a girl. And I'm like, we're probably gonna have another girl, and I'm gonna, you know, have Paige and another girl. And at that time, Paige had just graduated from college, you know, so she's like, I'm gonna have to do this all over again, which I do now, but I feel like it might be easier with a little boy. I don't know, but we'll see. So
Yeah. Well, you do have some. Yeah. I was gonna say I'm sure I'm about it in your age range. And my kids are both adults now, and you definitely have some guts taking little, over.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I fought. If I could do it again at now 47 next week, hopefully I'd be a lot wiser than when I actually had the kids at 24 and 25, right?
Yeah, we have talked about that. It's like, I've learned so much in my, 48 years, and I hope to be able to, take that and apply it, as opposed to when I was 24 years old and 25 years old when I had my youngers, my older kids. So, so it's definitely going to be some applied older wise things to learn. So
what's your faith takeaway from this, both of you?
I think that Bible verse of Isaiah 41:10, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for I am with you. And we kept that with us and close to our heart the entire fertility journey. Over and over again, that verse saved us. It saved us from throwing in the towel. It gave us hope. And I think whenever you're in the very deepest, darkest place of infertility, that four little word, hope, is what keeps you coming back. It keeps you hanging on. It keeps you from not giving up on the greatest blessing, which is Him.
It does, yeah. And just God, has always blessed me in my life, even though, tragedy has happened in my life. And, there's been times where I could have pushed Him away, but He's always been that voice that said, I'm here. And I felt His presence throughout my life, and I'm just blessed and thankful. And I feel lucky to have His grace in my life. So
I love it. Hey, by the way, Marty, has anybody ever told you that you look like Johnny Cash?
No. My gray.
I don't know. I'm watching you guys. I'm like, yeah, he looks a decent amount like Johnny Cash. Yeah, but he's not the man in black. He's the man in orange. That last
man in orange. That's right. Yes, sir. So yeah.
Well, you guys are such a terrific family, and I love the story. And for those of you who are watching on video, you can see Knox has been like a perfect little angel this whole time. In fact, if you're just listening on an audio platform, you wouldn't even know that Knox was part of the interview, but he is. Heather's been holding him in her arms, rocking him the whole time. We're so happy for you guys. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. It's a great one.
It's great. It's great. Thanks for having us. We're glad to share our story, and it's been nothing short of amazing for us. So we appreciate it.
Thank you guys for what you do.
Yes,
absolutely. You guys do. Yes. We have a great team, and I'll pass that along.
Absolutely.
By the way, if this podcast touched you and you're interested in hearing more, you want to spread the word, go ahead and give us a 5-star rating, review us, subscribe to us on whatever platform that you listen on. This has been Hope, Faith, and Infertility from Southeastern Fertility. You can find out more about us at southeasternfertility.org. Again, that's southeasternfertility.org. I'm Mark Mellinger. Thanks for listening and watching Hope, Faith, and Infertility.